Welcome to CineQuest Video, the podcast that delves deep into those VHS classics to the modern day format and beyond. Today we are going to be talking about part one of the John Carpenter Apocalypse Trilogy, and we're going to be talking about the movie The Thing, 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Hold for trailer.
Men have just discovered something. For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it. Or hear it. Or feel it.
I know I'm human. Some of you are still human. This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to. But it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's one.
You guys gotta listen to Gary. He can beat one of those things.
Okay, so I'm your host, Ray, and we have in studio, just commenting, has not seen the movie.
That I can remember.
That he can remember.
Brian.
Really?
And then we also have in San Antonio, Roland.
Oh, this is Roland.
And then in Washington.
This is Daniel.
Daniel, and then we have a returning Criterion head hostess, Idania.
Hostess with the mostest, Idania, coming to you from Denton.
Showtime. And we also have Ron joining us again. Welcome back, Ron.
Yo, what's up?
Okay, so again, today we're going to be talking about the movie The Thing, which is the first part of the Apocalypse Trilogy. Is anyone familiar with the Apocalypse Trilogy prior to this podcast?
No,
not really.
I honestly didn't even know it was a trilogy, dude.
I just thought it was bullshit someone was trying to sell.
I had not seen two of the three movies, so yeah, I was not aware of a trilogy.
No.
Right, it's Ron, were you familiar with it?
No, I've only seen The Thing. I knew that there was like a trilogy, but I'd never seen the other two. Or I knew that there was, it's a trilogy, but I guess it's a legit one.
Okay, well, it's kind of like a loose trilogy. I mean, the stories necessarily don't connect other than by a theme, and that is the apocalypse, the end of things, according to John Carpenter. And it's unfortunate Bryce isn't here, because he is the one who has been fighting me on this term, apocalypse trilogy, since I mentioned us doing this podcast. But he's not here to state his case, and I'm pretty sure he's just going to be like, Ray, like you're full of shit, blah, blah, blah. I wish I'd recorded him prior.
And okay.
Damn it. Play that. What can you make it? Damn.
Oh, he's working.
Well, because life. And I have some thoughts on why these three movies are actually connected, even though they are very disparate. The first off, I'm going to talk about the protagonist. They're generally level-headed, but they are driven to madness or hopelessness. So you have the thing with MacReady and Childs not knowing, like, because I think there's a, sorry, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, I think there's a thing where it's like, shit, you might be the thing.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. So you have that. Then you have the dude from Prince of Darkness reaching back into like the Mirrorverse, as I'm calling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have the fraud investigator laughing his ass off at the end of Into the Mouth of Madness.
Yeah.
Where he just cracks. Mm-hmm. So I think all three movies are linked to that.
They're all like linked by like towards the end of the movie,
like cosmic horror.
Yeah, they have like a theme of cosmic horror. There's like Daniel, you said hopelessness, and basically there's no good ending to any of these, or at least
I think they're all happy endings, if you ask me.
well, according to you, give the viewer, I think, a sense of like victory.
Yeah. I clap.
But then it strips it away like rapidly. So they're all like dark victories in a sense.
Yeah.
Victories for the Dark Lord, sure.
Well, because the inevitable still happens, but these people come to terms with it in their own ways. Like the main characters, as it were, whether it's MacReady or fucking dinosaur guy. I can't remember his fucking name. That's the same guy, right?
From Sam Neill. Yes. Madness. Yes.
Like he would, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sam Neill. There you go.
Yeah.
From Event Horizon.
Okay. So. Other links. I sorry guys, I wrote a bit this morning because I was fucking drunk.
So early in the morning.
Well, I work nights now, so like
balance. No, that's all good.
Gotta get my drinking in sometime. All three movies have the evil or the presence or whatever. It's transferred to humans physically. Like there's contact involved, like there's a tangible connection between like the other and the known, which I think is kind of nifty. Whether it's spitting water at fucking people's mouths when you shock them enough that they go, "Oh, I'm surprised! Oh, there's now water in my mouth, and now I'm a vessel of the devil, which is actually an alien from another dimension." No, yeah, whatever. But speaking of the unknown, like all of them deal with the unknown. You have aliens, you have the devil, you have the old ones, which I think Sutter Kane actually referred to, like the beasties in the Mouth of Madness as like the old ones at one point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, like they're like, Roland hit it, I think, on the head earlier, saying like, like they're Lovecraftian.
Right. Loosely based, yeah.
And all three movies involve the incorporation, then alteration of the host. Like, they're all humans being modified in some way, whether in perfect form or in realized form for a crazy interdimensional ritual. And, have you seen all of these, Adanya?
I've only seen Into the Mouth of Madness.
Okay, word. So
you haven't checked out The Thing yet?
I've only seen The Thing.
No, and The Thing, too, of course. Oh, I mean, come on, that's why I'm here. I'm not just going to commentate.
All three of the monsters, or all three, like, have the monsters, when they are interacting with the protagonist, they assume this perfect human form.
Right. Well,
like in the Mouth of Madness, you have like the old lady with like the fucking, her husband like chained up to her or whatever, you know. But
you have the alien assimilating everybody.
Is really wild. Honestly.
Oh, dude, I watched it. Well, I guess let's see. I'm thinking like time wise. I guess 27 hours ago or so. Okay. For the first time, and I loved it. So, like, I can't wait till we get into the series where we talk about that movie in particular, yes. Because that shit, I just went,
right here.
Wow.
Yeah. It is a very underrated movie.
Yeah, it really is. I do agree that you say, like, in a sense, it's like there's some sort of achievement in the end, but it's not really like what you would say is something optimistic or something to be positive about. The same thing goes for The Thing.
It's like acquiescence in some ways.
Yeah.
Or exactly. Actually, I would say for like In the Mouth of Madness and The Thing, it's totally acquiescence. And then Prince of Darkness, you have this yearning still. I mean, that chick must have had just like the most like bomb ass pussy that guy has ever had.
Whoa, because he's just like,
I'm gonna go into the next dimension to try to get that shit again, to try to hit that. Well, it's not really a spoiler because like 3.5 people sometimes listen to us. So like, what are we ruining?
Is it referred to like as a Pyrrhic victory, or is that a look only in The Thing?
I think that the dark victory is where
like it's essentially a defeat, but like
it does tie into Prince of Darkness as well, I think. Right. Like I think that is present. Like when we get to that movie, we'll talk about it probably more in depth, but I think like the kind of the, or maybe,
well, it's a victory that's punctuated by devastating loss.
Yeah.
Mostly.
But that's not so much the case in Mouth of Madness, the dude is already in the gig. He's already in the game. Like, he knows what's up at that point when he watches the movie and he loses shit. So, he was already at the point where he was like, things are fucked. Like, this new reality is going to crush upon us and we're done, basically. Ha ha ha. And now I get to watch it. Isn't that great? You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so before we go like any further into the other movies, I know we're all very excited about this trilogy, and I'm glad about that. I appreciate everyone's enthusiasm about it because I personally can't wait to talk about
the
other
two
movies.
I'm so excited.
I want to get through just a quick definition of the apocalypse again, just the theme recurring in these movies. It says the complete and final destruction of the world, an event involving destruction or damage on an awesome or catastrophic scale. And that kind of is not something you see necessarily, but it's implied with the ending of these movies because they don't show like a destruction of the world, but you know it's coming.
May I say something regarding
absolutely.
The apocalypse?
Hold on, go ahead, Brian.
You know, everyone talks about the apocalypse being the complete destruction of the world, but it's actually also the complete rebirth of the world.
Well, yeah,
in biblical terms,
Brian,
even if it's destroyed, something carries on.
Oh, eventually, yeah.
But yeah, something new and exciting.
Most of us probably won't be around to see that.
So. I think that. Yeah,
well, I'm an optimist.
I mean, how is the postman ever going to like happen if like a lot of people don't die?
Oh, no one said anything about a lot of people not
Kevin
dying.
How is Kevin Costner going to like? How is he going to save the day?
It's the color.
Or, like, how does Waterworld happen if you don't have a witch who will die in an apocalyptic setting? You know. And how do you feel the dreams happen if you don't, you know, build it so they come?
And let me give a quick definition of what a trilogy is. Most of us are familiar
with
what trilogies are.
Here, aren't right? we?
Well, I heard that trilogies originally contained three films, but now my understanding is it's nine.
No.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's one trilogy.
Yes.
Roland or Daniel, are you on the actual document?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Can
Daniel, can you read what the
quote unquote definition of a trilogy is?
Oh, absolutely. A trilogy. Just kidding. Oh. Sorry, it's been day drinking, so I got to compose myself real quick. And,
no, you don't.
Just go with it. You know.
Hyperventilate.
Brown low, or was it brown cow? Down low.
Yeah.
But a trilogy is a set of three works of art that are connected and that can be seen as either a single work or as three individual works. They are commonly found in literature, film, and in video games and are less common in other art forms. Wow, video games is art forms, Ray? Where did you get that definition?
From the internet. Hello. Did you think I wrote this? I don't think so.
Yes.
And
I did not.
Well, did you ever see part two and part three of The Last Supper? Nowhere near as impressive as the first one.
Oh, yeah, of course. That first one had a pretty sweet ending.
Is that anything like... Right. Yeah.
I mean, where do you think they got the premise for Terminator Genesis and Dark Fate as well?
Christ too.
Jesus Christ came back as a woman.
Let's not start with Genesis because
I thought that movie could have been
perfect.
Yeah.
You want to know how it would have been perfect? Sorry, we're going to be on like SinQuest, Terminator Genesis for a sec.
If they never made it?
Well, time travel would have helped that. But speaking of time travel, the way they could have just ended the whole fucking series is just end it with fucking sending John Connor back in time. Or not John Connor, but like, what's his daddy's name?
Reese.
The robot.
Yeah. Reese, yeah. Send Reese back in time at the end of Genesis.
I was going to say Reese Witherspoon.
And you fucking close the loop, man. And then you don't have any more shitty Terminator movies to disappoint us all.
Right. Just folds in on itself and it never was. That would be cool.
That's a perfect ending to the Terminator Duo?
I mean, to like
double feature sequels. I don't even know. But then the last one had Mackenzie Davis.
I went to that with my buddy, with EJ, with whom some of you guys met. And
that sucks.
Yeah, actually, speaking of sucks, at the end of the movie, after the credits roll and shit, because like everyone stayed around, EJ proclaimed at the top of his lungs, "That sucked."
was this at the end of Genesis?
It was fucking perfect. What's up?
This was at the end of Genesis?
Yeah.
That's nice. Fucking funny, dude.
You know, I felt, speaking of Genesis, I felt kind of bad for Matt Smith because he's gone through some shitty roles since being the Fantastic Doctor.
I think he's going through more.
He's going through what?
He's still going through more.
You know,
he's still
Matt
going through
Smith
more shitty
was supposed
roles.
To have an amazing role, guys, actually, in the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the big bad.
Something like
who,
that.
Matt Smith?
Right?
No. Yeah. Okay. Because
really?
They were going to have him play the son of the Grand Inquisitor from Star Wars Rebels, which was a CGI series they did a few years ago. But basically, Jedi killed his pops, and so he was going to be like the big bad. So it's going to tie like fucking this CGI show that is canon into like the new trilogy. It was going to be really cool, and yeah, then they fire Colin Trevorrow for whatever reasons, if that's his name. Colin Trett something. It's foreign to me. It's like tomorrow, so. But like.
I mean, the last thing I saw Matt Smith have a cameo in is Morbius, which actually doesn't look that bad.
Oh, that might be cool.
It might be. Yeah, he's got. Sorry, what was that, dude?
That's not going to be good. Morbius?
I don't like. I do not like Jared Leto. I'll say that right fucking now.
Wow, controversial statement there.
I don't know about that shit.
It's not gonna be good. They like. I have a feeling they showed like the
all the best parts of the fucking.
Yeah,
movie.
They jumped the shark with the trailer.
Like always,
yeah, me too.
Yeah,
actually,
probably. Probably.
At the end of the movie.
You know the way that like, is it Sony that's doing this one?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
The way Sony should just do their movies, because the same thing happens
Sony
with Spider-Man. They should just like put all the money into the trailer and then just not release a movie. So like, oh, here's the plot line of the Sony like Marvel
short
universe
film.
Right now. Yeah. Just show
that would
the trailer.
Be awesome, actually.
Okay, cool. We understand. Cool. Next one.
Right. I like that idea.
They wouldn't make money or very much money, but
I mean, like, it would take them a while, but eventually they'd recoup. Maybe they could have like a box set of just fucking short films over like the past 10 years or whatever the fuck. That'll work.
Yeah, I mean, you can watch the entire like, you know, and think of the like the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You could
watch
all,
whole fucking
all the
Spider-Man like 15 minutes,
and, like all the Venoms, and yeah, in like, half an hour.
All the Moon Kniggets, who's
and like
to
Morbius
be, like,
will play in
band.
The credits.
Wouldn't it be cool if he just played an organ?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're back to the thing now.
Wait, no.
I mean,
we're not done with that last tangent yet. No, let's get on the thing, I guess.
Okay, so just a quick synopsis of The Thing. The Thing is a 1982 American science fiction and horror film directed by, obviously, John Carpenter and written by Bill Lancaster. And it is based on the John W. Campbell Jr. novella, Who Goes There? And again, this is The Thing is technically a remake of The Thing from Outer Space.
It's a junior novella?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. No.
That's pretty intense.
No, it's Wait, not. Like, that's the guy's name, John W. Campbell Jr.
No. You said it was a junior novella, though?
No, it's not. It's just a regular novella. That's the name of the guy, John W. Campbell Jr.
Okay, so
it's based on the novella.
I heard that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe
he died in 1971.
And everybody's sober, though.
Is that like a thing? I don't understand.
John W. Campbell Jr. died in 1971.
So he lived. He didn't live to see the remake. Huh?
No, he didn't.
No, unfortunate.
He was active from 1937.
His Force Ghost was there, I'm sure.
What were you guys busting out about Junior Novella or whatever?
No. It's because the. Goddamn. You're still on that shit?
God damn it, Roland. Way to detract us again, but like.
It's not a junior novella. The guy's name is John W. Campbell Jr.
No. I know. Okay, look, I understand that, but I'm trying to understand why Danya and Daniel were like all up on sort of asking that. Was that, does that refer to something else?
Because we both heard it, and I guess we fucked were both up, tripping.
Like, because the guy, he's junior, right? And then right after junior, Ray like put novella a few words after that, and Adonis was actually the next apparently in altered
it's
mind
a
states.
Punctuation mistake.
Yeah. I just thought it was something interesting, but my bad.
Yeah, we didn't know the comma was there. That's all I'm saying.
I got a crazy interesting fact about John W. Campbell.
Go ahead.
He attended MIT, and he got his bachelor's degree from Duke University in physics.
No shit.
Duke.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did he write any other stories?
You know, I'm sure he did.
Okay.
Did your rectangle that you looked that up on?
Yes, he
you?
Did. He wrote several novels. the rectangle. He wrote quite a bit and edited as well.
Oh, awesome. And going back to the thing, it tells a story of a group of American researchers in Antarctica who encounter the thing, or a parasitic extraterrestrial life form that assimilates, then imitates other organisms. And the group is overcome by paranoia and conflict as they learn that they can no longer trust each other, and that any one of them could be the thing. And the film stars Kurt Russell.
That's one thing that's like a theme that holds these movies together is that distrust and paranoia.
Right.
Definitely in place just like in real life. The Thing and in the Mouth of Madness, but not so much in Prince of Darkness, because it seemed like everyone was like, this crazy stuff is happening and somebody's missing. That's not weird. You know, like...
is anyone familiar with like the other people that come out in there? I mean, we said we have Kurt Russell, we have Keith David, who also comes out in They Live with Roddy Piper.
Diabetes,
rest in peace.
Yes, dude.
Diabetes.
I was actually questioning why They Live was part of the trilogy. I was like, They Live would be great, you know, it's part of the trilogy instead of, you know, one of the other ones. But then I just don't know which one I would kick off. But
nah, dude, we need Kurt Russell in each one. In the subsequent movies, like Kurt Russell shows the last minute, like, here, kid, this is what you need. And hands him like a holy relic or some bullshit, you know. Just
the holy relic known as like sunglasses.
Oh,
exactly.
No, with the goggles, which I'm sure Roland approved of.
I mean,
speaking of goggles, did y'all notice in the like first time that Kurt Russell puts on his goggles when he leaves his little shack to see the chopper trying to shoot the puppy down? Like a strand of his beard gets like caught in the lens, like, or like a lens strap or whatever. Like, like this like line of hair connecting like his chin and like eye area.
Yeah, I did see that.
It was like super distracting when I noticed that. And I've watched the thing 3 times now in the last week. And it's just every time it's like a sore thumb now. It's but bleh.
I did like those fucking wraparound glasses of his, but
goggles, you mean? Yeah. Which are within about.
I'm surprised,
like,
Roland. I mean, you wear goggles all the
right
time,
now,
so you wouldn't know the difference.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They're over there on the couch, all right?
Yeah.
You should be wearing them right now. Nah, doesn't matter if we can see it or not. You should be wearing the goggles.
Yeah, see, like, he wears the goggles to, like, blank out, like, the snow. And if you're looking at the Google Docs page, it's pretty white, Roland. You protect your eyes.
Right,
get the goggles up.
You're right. I don't want to strain myself here. It'd be best. Best with a viewed with a filter. Yeah. Thanks.
Roland, I need you to get in character. I don't give a fuck if you're just in by yourself in the apartment.
The model of JMB, goddammit.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Which, Ray, you dig that,
go
Scotch,
full
actually, right?
Cyber guy.
Yes, very much so.
That's the good stuff, yeah.
I usually drink that when we're doing Valley Stream.
I don't know if I've ever had J&B, and J&B is not a sponsor of us, but like we'll talk about many products. And like, hey,
I mean,
sponsor
nice
people out there, if you hear your, like, or like advertisers or agents, if you hear your product name being mentioned on our program,
we'll drink it if you send it to us.
Hey, maybe make a connection, you know?
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. My DMs.
No one mentioned like Clorox.
I will suck some corporate dick for this program. You know,
everybody, heard it here first.
You heard it here first, guys. One of us is willing to suck some dick for some of that those corporate products.
Not someone, me. I will fucking get after it, man. If Moquist can succeed, man, like I believe in this so much, I will, like, yeah.
You know what, Daniel? I mean. Yeah.
What's
since
up,
since you're gonna suck dick, at least I'll sit there and watch while you suck dick. That helps. <Wow.
laughs> Well, you know, it's not a matter of whether it helps Daniel. It's a matter of whether it helps the corporations. Like if the corporation's into watchers, they're gonna need you.
Yeah, right. We need people that
we should get Domino's. So that you guys could do the whole pizza guy.
Well, you know, the Papa John's guy is on the verge of like killing people. So
that guy, I used to be that guy. So like we could actually like dual cast that role as me and just like shoot it right. So it's like
wait, but
oh,
you used to be which guy? The one sucking dick or the one, you know, delivering pizza?
¿Por qué no los dos? But no,
we're open to it all.
The pizza guy. I used to work for Domino's, right. Man. Like Ray and I connected early on because we were both like
delivery guys,
slingers
delivery guys,
of
yeah.
the pizza.
Multi-talented pizza slingers.
Yeah,
slangers. You know,
yeah.
slangers like
slangers of the pepperoni.
Oh my god, this brings back memories of that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles porn. Oh, that was so wonderful.
I forgot. You know, April O'Neil's provided me a lot of entertainment since then. That's all I'm saying.
You think there's some think porn going on that we could have?
I'm sure it's a cartoon.
A
no, we're about to find out, actually.
That's a good question.
For my pornage, I use Firefox instead of Google Chrome, which I use for everything else. So let me pull that real quick and see if there's some thing parody porn. Unless
and
Ron's
you know
already on it.
Speaking of
you gotta
parody
be careful.
Porn,
you
like,
might get into some
for
Fantastic
some...
Four stuff there.
Oh, God. No, for some reason, I felt like the thing, like every time the thing would transform or like, you know, assimilate the body, it looked like honey barbecue chicken wings.
I think you're just hungry.
So like, yeah.
Like, I don't know, like every single time it would assimilate,
everything was covered,
you know,
in barbecue sauce. Yeah.
Exactly, right? Okay, so I guess
that.
I was eating chicken wings.
So we're going to play a segment, I guess a new game of...
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking for a porn parody,
oh, I
these are the things you get.
So let's see, 3, 6, the tenth one on the search history is 2 Girls, 1 Cup.
The things teachers go through.
Let's see. There's the 33rd AVN Awards, Ron Jeremy, 30 Rock, AXXX parody.
And all the things she said.
On the definition of pornography itself.
That's a song by
porn.
Oh, Simple Man.
Sexy granny with Simple big Man. Boobs doing her thing.
Wait, what?
Oh, hip amputee doing things.
Oh, damn.
Jesus
Christ. Getting into some amputee stuff there, huh?
The things Miss Chloe does.
Some very niche interests.
Miss Chloe, is she like a psychic?
Let's see. Hustler Probably. Magazine, X-Biz, a Serbian film. What?
That's Serbian film.
There we go.
What the fuck is that?
That's a classic film.
That's going to be a good one.
Big black cock worship.
Wikipedia, you complete me.
Things I jack off to, big bubble butt.
Okay,
oh,
you've
Tracy
gone too
Lords
far.
Is on here. That was right after 2 Girls, 1 Cup.
A I like dream to on put Elm Street. Random things in my tight pussy.
I found
a...
Holy shit.
Is this how these episodes always go? Because this is my first one, you know.
Salem's Playthings, that's with the occult, I guess.
Oh,
that's cool.
Man, I missed
no,
that.
That's for Valley Strange, guys.
Let's see.
My slim thing with the good pussy. I think I'll end it there. That's pretty good.
All right,
yeah.
So
Wikipedia is just listing.
What was the name of that game,
online,
Daniel,
right now.
That you just said right now?
When you're looking at porn parodies and what you really get on Pornhub.
Oh,
something like that. Yeah. So yeah, I wonder what Prince of Darkness and In the Mouth of Madness is gonna like result in when we do those.
And we return to our regularly scheduled program.
Oh yes.
Oh, I thought we were on the road stage program. We just, like,
what are you talking about? It's in the outline. Look right here.
That's going to be part of the format now. Porn parody search at some point during the episode.
It's going to be a special.
There you go. Thank you for adding it already. I just copy and paste that next time. And you misspelled parody. Jesus Christ. It's
oh, it's because I tried to help and I typoed.
And please put it in bullet form. I want it more professional looking.
You got it, boss.
Okay, so let's see here. We're gonna go through our little budget of the movie. It's they'd had $15 million. They spent $1.5 million on special effects, which are in my opinion, and I'm pretty sure most everyone else's. Some of the best special effects.
They're amazing. Still.
Still in a movie.
I mean, like, out of
Out
of all the movies I've watched, this is the one that I've, like, remember the best for its special effects.
Yeah, the
practical effects, right.
It's not Blade.
I think for its time, you know, it's being set in the 80s, especially in the age of like B horror movies, when you know you have like Evil Dead and you know you also have Cronenberg working and stuff. You know, the quality of this one in comparison to like maybe
Alien,
maybe like another you get what,
like
Alien.
Like I think the graphics on this one were really, really nice. The special effects.
The only thing I was like irritated with is like the, I guess, you know, Jamie had an old VHS copy that he like ported over to video, like, but it was just trash quality. But still, like, but what was cool though is like the last time I watched it was like over 10 years ago or some shit, but I watched it at like a nice DVD quality. So like I remember like the goodness of the graphics. I just didn't remember like the fucking plot and shit, you know. So like it was
You were too mesmerized by the special effects and
no, it was just revisiting and going like, oh yeah, this was amazing. And even though like Jamie like provided us with trash, like this works, you know.
Hey, at least it wasn't 4K where we all can watch it, you know.
you want me to bring Jamie
the beard being stuck on the goggles.
And I saw that in like 480p, so like imagine a 1080p copy.
Oh god, that would kill you.
Fuck yeah.
I'd be like, that J&B bottle's expired. He should have died.
He'd be counting the fucking follicles on his beard.
Ron, what did you think of the special effects in this movie?
The special effects are great. The practical effects are awesome. Like as everyone said, I mean, 80s, it looks great.
Do you guys have like a favorite out of the ones that were there? Like, was it which one did you enjoy the most?
Yeah, the one where his hands look like honey barbecue chicken wings before they incinerate him and like they all form a circle around him. But I thought the hands, they really look like chicken wings.
Oh yeah, when they're outside and he like looks at them and screams
and he goes
is that the scene where he's giving the guy he's using the defibrillators? Is that what they're called?
No,
defibrillators. That is my guy. Looks like Jamie.
Is it Bennings?
So I dreamcast is part of the rules in this movie, and Jamie is that guy with the like red beard and like balding and shit who gets shot early on because Jamie has fast guns. I think it would be fucking poetic justice if he got shot in this scenario. So that's who Jamie is.
He's
he's also got a red beard and his bald.
The guy in the beginning of the movie, the Norwegian guy in the beginning of the movie gets shot. Okay, because I thought that was funny.
The guy who has the fucking chicken wing hands.
That's Yeah.
And then Roland, you're the radio operator guy.
Oh, come on. Is Why do I have to be that pussy?
Because you always make excuses for not doing stuff. It's like, man, I've been trying for 2 weeks. There's no one's been talking on this continent. It's like, it sounds so much like your bullshit.
God damn it. Why can't I be one of the potheads or like anybody but him? Well, you know what? No, I take that back.
Well, because wasn't what? Oh no! And so I think that Ray
Daniel, which black guy am I?
You're the cook.
Actually, for the black guys, actually, I thought Roland was gonna be the roller skating guy initially. Oh, fuck
really? Ray, you would definitely be Childs.
No, probably.
I just take y'all's word for it.
Ray would be a fucking
Ray's not Breyer. For that.
No, Ray's Breyer, man, because Ray is like a total pragmatist. Because like Breyer was trying to like destroy all the like communication shit. I think because he wasn't infected quite yet, but he knew the danger of the shit going on. So he was like, "Let me cause a blackout and fuck up the chopper, so you fuckers can't get out."
So Ray gets to kick my ass. That's bullshit.
That's exactly how it would go down in real life.
Fuck that. That is so weak.
I'm surprised he hasn't gone down on
Ray every day, Roland. I don't care how much you've worked out. I got 10 bucks on Ray.
But my gains. Also, fuck off.
Roland, you got like a half inch on me, man. Like, I'll still fuck you up.
A towering half inch over you.
That's right.
Okay, so... I guess any more favorite scenes
cool
in this movie?
Out with Roland and Ray, because it feels like I'm hanging out with like fucking Ewoks and shit.
Well, Chewbacca. You know.
Wait, what does that make me?
You're an Ewok Wookie. Too.
I don't know.
Nah, you're a Jawa, Brian, because you're like an engineer dude. Like,
there we go.
Always in a scrapyard building shit. Like,
that's me.
OTV. No.
Again, anyone else have any favorite scenes in this movie?
Oh yeah.
Hold on. Before we go, I'm gonna go down. I'll go down the line exploded. So we can all just explain ourselves. And okay, I'll go with Roland first. Do you have a favorite scene in this movie?
I mean, you mentioned it earlier, but I'm like I couldn't really decide between two. The first one is when the doctor's above the guy on the operating table, and he's got the defibrillators.
Yeah,
and as he's about to give him the, you know, the second zap.
Oh yeah,
and, like his hands go through his stomach. The guy's stomach turns into a, you know, a mouth with teeth and
snack
bites
time.
I thought that was the coolest thing when I saw it as a kid. I was like, wow, this is awesome.
You know, they casted like an armless guy that missing two arms for that.
Mm-hmm. What?
Oh really?
Flailing his. Yeah, they he's wearing a mask of the actor's face, and it's just for like a second, and he's like flailing his arms around, but it's like an amputee, like guy's missing both his arms.
Now that is practical.
So
how they did it, yeah, it looks so good too.
Yeah.
Oh, the other scene I like or part is, I guess it's within that same scene actually. It's when the guy's head falls off and sprouts like spider legs,
yeah,
snail eyes or whatever. Like I loved that, and because I laughed my ass off, like when they're standing there and you see it like skitter behind him.
Yeah,
off, out of
they
focus.
They turn around and like,
it
are
just
you
stands
fucking
at the door. They're like, yeah, it was so funny, dude.
It's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then, which is a direct quote from the fucking movie.
Yeah,
I love that. It was so funny, dude.
Somebody else favorite scene?
Danya, you have a favorite scene?
Yes.
Go ahead.
The oh, I do actually. One of my favorite scenes would definitely be the one where the dogs are all in, you know, the kennel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the whole transformation scene from that dog that they rescued. Mm-hmm.
Dude, that was
insane.
So fucking ill.
That was crazy. Like
that
its face split apart
me.
And like
that's
its skull
my,
fell
that's
out.
That's actually my favorite fucking like permutation of like the alien mixing with like
it looked
human
like
forms,
a Demogorgon
or...
from like Stranger Things too.
Yeah.
At the beginning. True.
The second where it's the mouth opens up the second time before the
like yeah the mouth
it's yeah like it's a bunch of dog's tongues like and
yes.
That's
yeah
oh that's
that look great
it's ill
that
man like awesome. The dogs look the best love I think them. Like
yeah
they're
and the dogs knew like they had this feeling like from the very get-go
yeah
you know
like
there's like something's thing. Not right what the fuck
yeah
like
just like who the fuck did they bring in here Mm-hmm. And the mistress begins.
And it's super funny, like, yeah, because, like, how it's the dog that they get in the beginning of the movie. You see, like, the helicopter flying around, and the guy just randomly starts shooting at the dog. Like, what are you fucking doing, you know?
Yeah.
Then he shoots Jamie.
Yeah.
And then he shoots
Then he gets popped in the eye by Brian. They shoot him
right through the fucking head.
I think Brian is fucking that,
that sheriff dude or whatever the fuck he is.
Yeah. Palmer? What was his name? No, not Palmer. Palmer was amazing. Palmer was a cool character.
was he?
The guy in khaki and
Gary.
Pistol. Yeah, Gary. Yeah.
Gary. Yeah.
That's Brian all over, man.
Right on.
Yeah.
I will say, I do notice Brian, there's like, you know a lot what? Of lack of females.
Yeah, I was like, that's the first thing
there, man. Which is why I wanted to talk about the 2011 version, actually, because it's like, then they totally made up for the 1982 version in 2011 by making the chick the, like, protagonist, making her the Kurt Russell, kind of.
Which, kind of. It is supposed to be considered a prequel to the 1982 movie.
Which I don't understand.
I don't get it either. Like, when I first saw it, I didn't realize that. I mean, I just read about it and I was like, I didn't come across like at all. So
it's the this Norwegian team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Norwegian team.
Yeah. Original movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Which they mention. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they visit the leftover the camp that was, or I guess the other base that was destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely, like.
It's like, are there two teams investigating this at the same time? One with like way better technology.
Redundancy is the key to success.
By like 30 years. That's curious, guys. Like, I don't buy this prequel bullshit whatsoever.
Ron, did you have a favorite scene in this movie?
Yeah, I really like the blood testing scene. I think that's.
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Your seat the whole time. It's probably like one of the best jump scares I've seen.
Oh yeah,
a handful of times, and I jump every time he fucking tests the blood in that.
And you always know, like, but it's like, fuck.
You know,
it makes me jump too, man. I feel like
I loved that scene because, like, when the guy starts, you know, wigging out, like. You know, the other two dudes that are there, like, strapped to the chairs, and they're like, fucking do it, like, get us the fuck out of here. Like, they're just freaking out, like, trying to get out of the rope.
And then the fucking, like, eats the dude's head, the
right. Yeah. And it picks him. Yeah. I get my face bit off and, like, flung around and shit.
He turns on fire.
After that,
then it's all on that.
At the end of it, my head's covered in barbecue sauce, yeah. I mean. what's his face? What was his name again?
It's the radio guy, right?
Yeah, the radio guy. Yeah. The radio guy. Fuck.
You. That's you, Roland.
Fucking hell.
Windows, was that his name?
I think so.
I think the guy with the semi-curly hair.
Thomas.
Semi-bald.
With the glasses on, right? The CB operator. Windows. Yeah, that's Roland. Yeah.
He wasn't bald. He had like a fro.
he had a receding hairline for sure.
Had a receding hairline.
I just remember seeing like monster hair, but whatever.
You saw what you wanted to see.
Exactly. Always.
You saw the mirror and you're like, no, I'm going to alter that.
If you're going to fucking pigeonhole me into this, I need to make the best of this bullshit. Fuck.
Okay, Daniel, what about your favorite scene in this movie?
Wuss.
Okay, I have a few, and they're actually going to like merge into my favorite quotes because there weren't a whole lot of quotes in this movie.
I thought they were funny,
but
Brian's character had a good quote though.
My first fucking favorite scene was being in the movie when MacReady is playing the fucking chess game.
Oh.
And he fucking just totally wastes that whole system, calls it like cheating bitch, and then pours his fucking scotch on the fucking like little data cards or whatever they're in the fucking computer at the time.
That's messed.
That was fucking funny.
Then I got Palmer, who was another pilot apparently, but he says, "Hey, thanks for thinking about it though." When he gets automatically shut down for like taking them to the fucking Norwegian base, I thought that was hilarious. Then there's the pothead guy who's like, I know how this one ends, and he changes the VHS tape that they're like stuck with. And
lights a monster spliff.
And then the dude like the was it Childs that woke up and was like, hey, give me some of that? Like, it was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, it was. He just holds his arm out and waits for him as he's lighting it.
And then my last is when MacReady is sitting there with a fucking torch and the thermite threatening to blow the place. And Childs like, you have to sleep sometime. I'm a real light sleeper, Childs. You know, like, just totally manic. Like, oh, it was so good. And every time, like, I still, like, even though I, like, watch this movie like in the past and like watch it a bunch of times this week, I'm still like, man, MacReady is one of the aliens, dude.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like, mean,
up until the blood test, but like with all the bullshit before that, it's just like, yeah, how do you make it back without a guideline?
I mean, he barely made it back. Like, he was pretty pissed about it, wasn't he?
He's a Beyonce survivor. He's not going to give up.
Oh, my God. No.
Wow. Quote fucking Beyonce. All right. Okay. We talked about.
I just love those scenes. They were like the funny ones of the fucking movie.
We talked about the favorite scenes. We talked about some of the special effects. Mine?
Shit, yeah. I forgot.
No, I talked about. Scene, I kind of mentioned like it's the one where I think you talked about it too, Roland, with the guys. Yeah, that scene right there. Where all the special effects were like the head's getting pulled off and then it falls slowly down the table.
And then, what did you guys think of? I guess like the last form of the alien at the end of the movie where he takes over. What the fuck is the dude's name? But like he bursts out of the ground and like you see all these like tentacles and like a half. Like half beast face or whatever before and then like the dog's body like bursts out of his stomach. Who was that?
You
that
guys fucking... remember when they blew up the spaceship?
Oh yeah.
That reminded me of Surf Nazis Must Die.
Surf Nazi. I didn't get to watch that one.
With the fucking grenade rolling for like miles. I felt like a bundle two of like thermite just rolling perfectly and then like spaceship gone.
Didn't they turn a corner too, like in that tunnel that they went through? Like it's like a corner. So how does he roll it like all the way down?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like survival style. Like how did that old bitch like roll a grenade 30 fucking miles? You know, like.
Works.
The deep questions.
Okay. So what about the soundtrack? Does anyone have anything to say about the soundtrack necessarily? Which isn't much, you know.
I've always dug.
My dude, I actually have to comment on the soundtrack. So you know how I did the notes for the soundtrack? So generally, John Carpenter always does the soundtracks for his movies, but this time the person that scored it was Ennio Morricone.
And who,
Italian,
yeah, and what
he's
else
the
has she
guy that did? The good,
I'm
the
sorry,
bad.
He done, sorry.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. He's done.
Oh, no shit.
The Hateful Eight, I think.
The Hateful Eight is actually unused theme tracks, or some of them are. I think two or maybe a few are unused.
Yeah.
Thing.
Huh. That's pretty nice. Cool.
Yeah, he's done like a lot of work. He's worked a lot. With like really good directors and stuff, so I was really surprised he did the one for the thing. Like, and it was really good too. But I usually generally like John Carpenter doing the scores for his films.
Yeah, they're
really
always
fun.
Interesting and entertaining.
So like,
I love that like synthy, like bassy kind of intro and outro to the fucking movie, though. Like that just. And I think it's violated in Mouth of Madness, but one thing that did link, and maybe it's the Carpenter style of like movies, but there was like no real dialogue for like a few minutes of these fucking movies. Like, but there was like spooky shit going on, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the soundtrack for Into the Mouth of Madness, yeah.
Like.
Yeah, but the whole beginning of the movie, like, no one really talks for...
No. Yeah,
it's a hot minute, yeah. And I'm just saying, like, I think, like, in Mouth of Madness, like, that gets broken very early. But, like, Prince of Darkness, like, it's silent for, like, a fucking, like, 5 minutes or some shit. Like, it feels like an eternity for, like, what is not being like spoken in this fucking film.
Right.
Speaking of like not speaking, like spoken stuff, I like that there's not a lot of exposition on like a lot of things in the movie. Like especially like the cast and like
what you don't like exposition, like I never thought I would meet a santo, a saint.
Reference to Only the Strong Cinequest.
Only the Strong, yeah.
There's not really
that, do like, they ever go into much detail, if any, about like what those guys are actually out there researching?
No, they don't.
No, they don't say anything. It's just like it's like U.S. Antarctic, like
a bunch of angry nerds. Team
13 or something like that.
Biologists.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all they say. I think that's great, though, because they're just out there. Just like,
which I think you can infer that one dude that they, I can't remember his name, but he was the guy that like towards the end where they're like, when they get in the scene where like there's the gun, like Mexican standoff where it's like, oh, well, we need to pick a new leader. I think no one would be opposed to you. And then that guy, I think he might have been a geologist because he was there earlier in the movie when they investigated like the UFO crash site. And he's like, oh, well, based on like the rise and I'd say this ice is 100,000 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was Gary. About McKay?
I thought that was Gary.
No, Gary. No, not Gary. No.
When he passed off the gun to, and then like Childs was going to take it, and he's like, oh, no. They gave it to McCready.
It's the guy when like Gary's like, hey, I think that like, you know, someone else take the lead, and he says that one guy that like curly headed fuck.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, hey, I think no one would be opposed to you taking over leadership. And the guy's like, I'm not for it. Norris. Okay. I think his name was Norris.
Yeah, it's Norris. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I think Norris was a geologist, but that's just only, but you only infer that from the fucking movie. Whereas in the remake, you know pretty much what the fuck everyone else is doing. And also in the other movies, like Prince of Darkness, everyone's like, oh, I'm this nerdy McNerderson from biology, and like, I'm from physics, and
that's why it's a far less superior movie in relation to The Thing, because I mean it's a movie that didn't need to be made, and you don't have John Carpenter attached to it, so it just it's very forgettable.
Prince of Darkness?
No. I'm talking about the remake of The Thing.
Oh, the new thing.
Prequel.
Yeah. I saw it back in 2015. I completely forgot it even existed. I just saw it on one of the streaming services, and it said 2011. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I played it and watched it. I was like, it's okay. But I mean, I'd probably never watch it again.
I think I downloaded it and never watched it.
My eyes were more on my phone than the movie. Like, I... But like with watching the original thing, like...
Mm-hmm.
I pay attention. Like, I'm...
Right.
I'm kind of like still on the edge of my seat. Like, I know everything's going to happen, but I'm still just like, ooh. If that's makes any sense, I guess.
Yeah, but like, I want to comment on how, like, you know, they pick their leaders, and then at the end, McCready is the one that becomes the leader. And I just want to know, like, why they all
Jedi mind trick. That's how he does it.
Because it's Kurt Russell.
I kind of thought it was because of the hair, because he had the best hair out of all of them. And the most, at most.
He was supposed to be rugged and
great hair, sweet beard. What more do you want?
Right.
And how did he get the rights to like burn all the cool stuff?
Yeah, how come he got to carry around the flamethrower?
We just said because he's
like, all the time. He was never questioned as being like, even though they're all like, OMG, one of us could be the thing. But exactly. Not Kurt Russell. Let's trust him with everything. Let's give him this gun.
I know,
and
I was
a military
man. And the rest of them were just weak ass nerds. That's why.
But dude, at some point, they start like, you know, doubting him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when the cook comes in, is like, oh, no, I cut him loose. And, like he busts in and they're like, oh no, fuck you. We know it's you or whatever. There's no way. And that's when he makes that like last stand with the dynamite or whatever. And then the stomach mouth guy, what was his name? Like passes out, and then that whole scene.
Oh yeah, he gets a heart attack.
That was Norris, I think.
Yeah. And then, like, they sort
good
of get back
Norse,
on the
side. Geologists don't live long.
Right. He's responsible for reunifying the team or whatever, reuniting them in solidarity.
Yeah, I mean, he ties them all up. I guess they let him tie them all up.
I didn't understand one thing. It's like, how did you select that one guy to not be tied up?
I would not be tied up. I'd be like, fuck
yeah. Well, I mean, he had the dynamite and the gun.
Well, no, but there's that one guy. Like, and everyone else is cool with it. They're like, oh, hey, a little dude over here. Like, the rest of y'all have me tied up, but like, they, not him.
Well, you, so like, they tried to overpower.
You remember that scene?
They tried to overpower MacReady, and it didn't work.
Well, you remember that scene where he was, one guy's like, I'm not going to be tied up. And he's like, points the gun to his head. He's like, I'll kill you. And he's like,
yeah. He's like,
oh, he's like, oh, you're serious. And then the other guy comes off to the side and he just pops him in the fucking head, you know?
Pops him in the head. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't fuck with MacReady.
Yeah. Snake Plissken, man.
You don't fuck he's like, with Kurt Russell.
He escaped LA, New York.
But I got to say, that ending scene was really good, though. You know, because there's just literally no hope. They're just
don't know if fucking Childs isn't like a creature or not, or if Kurt Russell is at that point.
Yeah, there's still the mistress.
Right.
But what else can they do?
But they're like,
both of them to go to sleep and, you know, get discovered by a rescue team and then, like, let the apocalypse happen.
Hooray.
You know, so each movie in the series, like, so there's always, like, you know, doom and gloom is happening to the human race.
Yeah, that's pretty much the
first two movies just leave that kind of in question. Whereas, like, in The Mouth of Madness, it's, you know, explicit.
Right.
Yeah, that's very true.
How's he?
Okay, anyone else has anything to add, I think we can go through our ratings now. Let me see here. On IMDb, the movie is set at an 8.1 out of 10. So one of the better rated horror movies of all time, you know.
Particularly because it has like some like antiquity to it now.
Even to this day,
it's almost
30
years old. Fuck.
Yeah.
Even to this day, I mean, people will still watch it and still pretty impressed with the movie itself, the special effects, you know, the acting, because they all like top tier actors here.
Yeah, they all did a really good job.
Yeah,
they did.
John Carpenter knows how to cast
the dogs. Sorry, almost
even
40
the dogs are really good.
Dogs are fantastic actors.
Oh, the fucking dogs are so like, that still the graphic associated with those dogs looked amazing, and also the little pooches they had on set. They were well behaved little doggies. Mm-hmm. It's like. Yeah. If I believe that dogs, apart from like professionally trained motherfuckers like that exist, is like I could get a dog. But apart from that, fuck dogs.
God damn. We like dogs here at Moco Studios. We are very fan. I mean, we're very fan fans of dogs.
Cats are
cool too. Don't get me wrong. I like cats too.
Critters in general.
Yeah, sure. Little animals with four legs. Not insects. Yeah.
Fuck chihuahuas. Those things are garbage.
Okay, so I mean, if you all ever get a chance I would suggest, if this is of interest to you, to watch The Making of the Thing on YouTube. It's there.
Oh,
available.
It's awesome.
And it's fucking amazing. It's fucking
such
great.
A cool fucking watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do they talk to like everybody? Like,
it's actually the special features from the actual DVDs.
Yeah.
And it's just on YouTube now, so you can watch that.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. Like, how you were joking before about like the chicken wings and the barbecue sauce with onion, like they do stuff like that. You know, they'll use spaghetti or, you know, like tomato sauce or just silly shit like that.
I know the blood looked like ketchup too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You use whatever you can to get the shot.
And they, I mean, it worked, man. Like,
okay, so as far as ratings are concerned, I want to start with our returning. Podcasters, I'm gonna go with Ron first. Ron, what do you give this 1 out of 5?
1 out of 5?
Yeah.
You gotta give it 4.
Solid 4?
Solid 4.
Any reasoning for that?
No. It's really good. Like, it's a really good movie.
You don't really watch horror movies too often, do you, Ron?
No, I don't. I'm not really, like, big horror. I'll watch them if they're good, like this one. And I like this one a lot. But, yeah, a 4.
Awesome. Okay. Daniel, what do you give The Thing? 1 out of 5.
Well, you know. No, actually, it's a pretty good rating. I would give it a 4. And honestly, like, in all honesty, I would love to see this trilogy be released on Criterion, because I think it's pretty up there with, like, the special effects, the design.
Idania could, or and Ron, since y'all are part of, like, the Criterion crew, could you, like, educate me as to, like, what a movie needs to, like, hit Criterion, like, quality? Because I thought it was, like, some sort of, like, explicit series or, like,
it's
artsy fartsy thing. But then RoboCop's on there. So then I wonder, like, what it takes for, like, a movie to be, like, Criterion quality. So, like, could y'all elucidate that for me, please? Like,
shut up, Brutus.
My dude. The thing with Criterion is that, yes, it is exclusive. It's mostly, like, a lot of artsy, contemporary, like, classic.
Yeah, because, like, I've not listened to the stuff y'all have, like, but I've, like, looked at the synopses for, like, the films that most of the Criterion crew goes through. And then there's RoboCop on that.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like yeah. When we started doing the podcast for the Criterion Collection, it was mostly talking about films that shouldn't be in the collection, yet they still are. I know that RoboCop and Armageddon are part of them, but they haven't gotten released.
Armageddon, really? Okay.
Yeah, Michael Bay. And I know that Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me is part of the Criterion Collection as well. And it's David Lynch, but it has a really low rating.
Uh-huh.
And so that's probably, like, my big shock. And also, Salo is considered an art film, and it's also part of the Criterion Collection. It has a low rating, too. So it's, like, back and forth, you know, it's never really settled.
It's usually, but, like, so are there, like, you know, like three, like, metrics, like, writ large that would make a movie Criterion worthy that y'all could, like, just pull your pocket?
I mean, I wouldn't think, like, a legit, when they put the three things looking for. I mean, because the Criterion. I think it's just movies that are, like, I guess some people or the house don't really like them.
These dogs are very distracting.
Yeah, you're cutting off a little bit too, Ron.
And that too, Ron.
Can they hear us?
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Well, I hear the dog.
We hear you, but we mostly hear the mic.
They can hear us. We're just not recording, I don't think. I muted the mics on our end. Like, to record.
This movie would count. Like, the technical aspect. The effects. Like, each shot of, especially that, like, autopsy scene, is, like, a different, like, special effect, a different practical effect. Like, I would say on that aspect alone that it would qualify, or I wouldn't be against it being on it, I guess, if that would.
But, like, you cut off a little bit during your discussion there, but, like, what? Okay, so I guess maybe, like, reversing the question, like, not what makes a movie Criterion worthy, but, like, why would, like, The Thing and its cohort be considered, like, Criterion worthy?
Because I think they have a really good message behind them. Like, also, like I said, the special effects are really well done. The plot's really well written. And so is
message,
the dialogue.
Something that's critical to the Criterion, like, criteria.
Yes.
How bougie.
A technical aspect of, like all the shots look really good. Lighting in this movie. I think it's like a larger aspect ratio. I'm off the top of my head. I'm not sure.
This passes Criterion muster.
Okay, so
muster.
You guys are just talking about stuff I don't understand or know anything about. Yeah.
I feel like we love the smell of our film farts. Yes. Yes. I'm just being fucking stupid, but that's cool.
Okay, so Daniel, what do you give this rating?
fuck.
I dropped my phone on the table. I give this 4.5 childs.
4.5
childs. That's
okay.
I was trying to think of something to use for that.
You can go with McReady's.
Yeah, but I think Childs was a real hero.
Okay, what about you, Roland? What do you give this rating?
I fucking love this movie. Like, I've always loved this movie since I was little. I just thought it was the coolest shit. Anytime it was
so
on TV.
So you're gonna give it a 2.5?
Yeah, right. Negative 2.5. I'll give it a 4. Norse things or whatever. How does it get any better than an amputee getting his hand, you know, hired to get his hands bit off on camera? That's
oh, it's fantastic,
special.
Isn't it? This I love
is
amputees
so
on film.
Is it feel good in the lips?
That guy's fake and he doesn't have arms. Yeah. I'll give it 4.
Yeah, how does
5.
He know what that pain would be like?
Right. This is real. My immersion is ruined.
All right.
Taking me out of it.
As for me, I'm going to give it a solid 5 out of 5. This is one of my top 10 horror movies of all time.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, we did our horror, top 10 horror movies back in 2018. And this was on I don't remember what number this was, but this was on my top 10. It is one of my favorite horror movies. I watch it all the time and it's just one of my favorites. I go to it all the time.
I want to see it in 4K, damn it.
Well, I mean, seeing it in better quality would obviously be really cool. I do own the DVDs. I would like to like get all of these on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
This collection here. I do have the cases for The Thing and Prince of Darkness, but in The Mouth of Madness, I lost the case a long time ago. So I'm just with the DVD on its own, and I don't like that. So hopefully I can get all these on Blu-ray again.
Man.
Out of 5 for me. I love this movie from beginning to end. And I love the trilogy. So, again, we will explore the rest of the movies for the next, February and March. And as far as the themes for our second Cinequest, though, we are going through a hard trilogies in general.
First line of the movie, because I thought that set a tone for the entire fucking film. Does anyone remember that when, like, before he says "cheating bitch," like the first thing he says to the fucking
dude
is like, "Are you giving up already?" or something like that. Like,
yeah,
I don't really know.
Finally losing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it was something like kind of ominous. Like, and you think about like, the concept of the movie, it was like a really brilliant line, I think. And also "cheating bitch" because like. You think about that alien was a cheating bitch, you know?
Okay.
All right.
Replicating shit, hiding as the peoples. It's nonsense.
Okay, so I mean, I hope you all are excited to delve into the
this
other two
movie
movies.
Rules, man.
This movie's badass. I love it.
In the Mouth of Madness is better, but this movie rules.
Agreed.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, most people aren't even aware of In the Mouth of Madness, but I would recommend that anyone check that out as well. But I guess we're gonna end this episode
so
here now.
Our listeners can know what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. I will do our normal promotion shit on another time without the dog in the background. But I will just say. We'll see you next time, and stay tuned for the next Cinequest, which is going to be, this is Ron who gave me the suggestion, and I think it's a very good one, and celebrating John Carpenter, we're going to do Big Trouble in Little China for our best worst villains segments. So if y'all don't know, Big Trouble in Little China,
and his good hair.
Low pan.
Right? All that good hair,
yeah,
man.
All
better than
great
wolf
hair. Muscle tea. That's fucking amazing. And all right, so I am your host, Ray, signing off. I have in studio Brian?
Am I still muted?
No, you're not.
Oh, well, bye, y'all.
And then we have Roland.
Yep. Hey, what's up?
Daniel. like we're starting Ayo. The fucking episode again. Daniel.
Laters, y'all.
And Ron.
Here's part two of The Thing, where we talk about other movies that don't relate to this at all. And
the porn special.
We found it, guys. Going to,
yeah, porn titles.
Ron, I don't think we see you. Heard you.
One mic keeps on. Yeah. See you guys later.
All right. See you, dude. Hopefully, we'll see you all next time. And signing off.